Would you all open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2? We're going to read a little bit more of the Christmas story. And I want to share with you from this passage a little bit, some reflections during this time to help us get ready for Christmas better. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. I want to begin today's message by asking you a question, actually guessing at the question that probably many of you have heard very frequently in the last week, which is, are you ready for Christmas? How many of you guys have heard that throughout this week? Are you ready for Christmas? Total strangers will come up to you and start conversations with you based on this. I was on the phone with a credit card company. They're not known to be chatty, but I was on the phone with the service rep, and there was a point at which the service rep said, "Well, I'm waiting for my computer to refresh." They always say that. And there's a little pause, and then she said, "Are you ready for Christmas?" I walked into a Starbucks the other day, and the clerk giving me the coffee, he asked me, "Are you ready for Christmas?" So it's a familiar question that I'm sure all of you guys have heard sometime this week. It's almost kind of like, how's the weather? Talking about the weather nowadays in the past couple of weeks. But strangely, now I'm going to do something incredibly magical and miraculous right here. When I ask the question to you, through the miracle of the Christmas pulpit, that question will take on a very different tone, right? Are you ready for Christmas? The first way of asking, ask if you have all your presents ready, right? And if you have sent out all your Christmas cards, are you ready for Christmas? The second way is a question about whether you're truly ready to receive what Christmas brings to you. Are you ready to receive what Christmas brings to you? The first way is to ask if you have your gifts ready. The second way, and the far more important way, ask you, are you ready to receive the gift of Christmas? So put it another way, Christmas is ultimately not about giving, but about getting. Christmas put it in context, is ultimately not about giving, but about getting. It's a fundamental fact of Christmas. Now, you're going to have to put that in context. This is one of those things that you take it out of context and you say, oh, you know, I didn't get you a present because Christmas is ultimately about getting and not giving. And you're going to turn this thing and twist this thing and make people think I'm a real strange person. But most of us, we get this. Most of us, we're ready for the first part. You're ready with preparation. You're done with that. But we're not ready for the second and the more important way. Let me say it one more way. What we're doing when we gather together on these Advent Sundays, what we're doing when we gather to get today, is to remind one another there is more to Christmas than Christmas. Right? There's more to Christmas than just Christmas. There's more to being ready for Christmas than just preparing gifts, sending out cards, putting up decorations. It is the gift of God, the grace of God that comes to us during Christmas time. There is no thank you note. There is no return gift. There is nothing that we can possibly do to do it justice. It is the gift of God that drives our giving. We give because He first gave. We give because we received. He gave, so we give, right? There's something much, much more to Christmas than just Christmas. Celebrate it rightly for the believer. It reminds us always. Christmas is the time of the year that reminds us there is something much more. There's something much more. Now, today, as I reminded you, as well as by the candles, we have four candles up. Traditionally, Advent is 4 weeks, four Sundays before Christmas, and you have four candles, and there will be a fifth candle lit on Christmas Day. And we're not meeting for Christmas Day for probably for more for technical reasons in one sense. I'm going to ask you guys to light your own fifth candle at your home, the Christ candle, to remind yourself of the process and preparation and the fulfillment of what happens. But the fourth Sunday of Advent is traditionally given the theme of joy. There's more to joy than we can possibly imagine. That's part of the lesson here. And what I want to say, what I want to share with you today, right now, is to say that there's something about our Christmas celebrations, however we do it, that reminds us, that pokes at this deep truth, that all of our experiences of joy in this world, however wonderful, however beautiful, however heartwarming, however meaningful, they nevertheless always reminds us that there has to be more to the joy in order for this life to truly take on meaning, in order for us to truly find the satisfaction that our soul, our hearts hunger and thirst for. We experience joy in this world. We experience joy beautifully during this time of the year, but it is never quite fulfilling. Is never quite as satisfying as we actually anticipate, we actually hope that it would be. True joy is something we desire, we yearn, but we cannot seem to embrace. One of the more obvious ways in which we experience this truth is through gifts, when we receive gifts. I remember as a child, really, really wanting certain presents. Actually, I'll just say I still want and really expect and get all, you know, worked up over receiving certain gifts, right? This is all of us, right? But I remember as a child one time just obsessing over this toy. You guys ever do this? You guys remember somewhere in your childhood past, you just go, oh, I just wish. And you really say to yourself, you really believe, if I can only have that, if I can only have that, then I will be happy. Just get me that, Santa. Just get me that, and then I will not ask for another toy. I will not need another toy, because if I have that, then I will be done. I remember doing this one particular year. I think I was about 6. For months, I dreamt. I remember dreaming about this toy, this robotic horse and a man. And it was just, I still remember this vividly. I just remember imagining myself playing with it. I remember dreaming about playing with it. And what happens, folks, when you get the gift that you always wanted? Well, you're happy for a moment. But it's always fleeting, isn't it? Was it really the last toy that you ever wanted? Was it really the last toy you ever needed? No. I actually cannot tell you times that I spent playing with the toy. I remember thinking about playing with the toy so much more vividly than actually playing with the toy. I'm going to guess that many of you, the experience is similar. So much expectation, but the experience of joy was so fleeting. This isn't something that's isolated to childhood. Our lives are run by this chasing after things that promise fulfillment, promise great joy, but in fact, what we find is that the joy is fleeting. This isn't just a pastor making a point on a Sunday morning, but scientists have figured out that there's a biological component to this. They found out, and I just read this recently, they found out that our brains are wired in such a way that our brains don't actually experience satisfaction in some ways. It doesn't really experience fulfillment. Whatever experience of satisfaction it experiences, our brains, it's fleeting. It's very fleeting. Instead, what it experiences much more vividly is the anticipation of fulfillment. We're wired in such a way. We have neurotransmitters that gets us excited and pushes us to think, oh, if we can only have that, then I will be happy, then my life will be complete. But the experience itself winds up being not quite that satisfaction that we anticipate it to be. Now, I could give you dozens and dozens of experiences, but one of them would certainly be gifts. This happens with gifts. This happens with UPS deliveries, right? This happens with gadgets, right? This happens with shopping. This happens, this is my hip, you know, I'm kind of like with the young kind of a group illustration. This happens with video games very commonly, right? You're playing a video game, you start playing a level, and you say to yourself, you know, if I could only get to that level, right? Then I'm going to be happy. I'm going to put this game down. I'm going to go to sleep. The funny thing is, you're never as happy as you think you will be when you get to that level. You get to that level and you go, oh, I got to do the next one. Let's do the next one. And you actually finish the game and you go, oh, that was cool. And yet, so empty inside. Not quite as fulfilling as I thought it would be. So what do? You start and look for another game that you can start. And you get the same cycle. Not just trivial things, but actually with big, important things in life, we do this. We always have expectations. It happens with other important things, right? So it happens with like things like relationships, deep, meaningful relationships. I want to share with you something. For some reason, I had forgotten for the last 17 years. which is that Christmas time is actually a special time of the year for my wife and I, because we actually got engaged right around Christmas time, and which is kind of like, you know, good thinking, because you kind of like, you know, you don't have to deal with like getting another Christmas present if you get the engagement ring around the same time. So December 16th, 1995. I just want to say 95. Esther's not paying attention, so she has no idea what I'm talking about anyways. So, and this, I got to tell you, my wife really wanted to get engaged. She really, really wanted it. She thought this would be it. This is the best Christmas ever. And I'm sure she said that to herself. And we got engaged, and we were so happy. And I got to tell you, we have a very happy marriage. It's normal in that we have all the fights and crises as well, but we have a very happy marriage. Maybe not after what I just said, but we have a very, very happy marriage. But I know one thing that she knew right away after we got married, that this, I grew, you know, 96 was when Jerry Maguire came out. And so this theme ruled our relationship, especially in the early years of our marriage. Is that, you know, nevertheless, we got married, but it didn't complete us. We love each other deeply. We weren't thinking about some other people or anything like that, but this didn't fulfill us. This didn't make us say, wow, human, you're like already bowing. You just got married. You're still supposed to be under the spell. But this didn't say, I need nothing more in life. This, I am perfectly satisfied, happy. Right? We think certain relationships, and we think this with kids as well. If we only had that child, if only our child listened, you know, if only my child would listen to me during my sermons and not play video games on my wife's phone, you know, and things like that. You know, what a bad, awful habit to get into at the age of four. You know, if those kind of things, you know, we think if those things happen, we would be happy and satisfied and fulfilled, and we would just be in a state of bliss, and that's it. But it doesn't happen. Something about the joys that we experience in this life is fleeting, and it's always not quite satisfying. And it winds up being the same case for our pursuit of careers and jobs and wealth. Nobody who makes $100,000 says, you know what? That's the amount that I wanted to get to. I'm so happy, I don't need to make any more. Nobody who gets to $250,000 says, $250,000 says, I am so happy, I am done. Nobody who gets to $1 million says, wow, no, I don't need any more. Nobody says, I've made enough. Everybody's always pursuing more, because it's never as quite as satisfying as you imagine. Now, evolutionary biologists will say, we are like this, because especially in our primitive stage, it's a dangerous thing to be satisfied. So, you know, the idea is maybe they caught an antelope for the day. It's a dangerous thing for people who are hunters and gatherers to have an antelope in their cave, and they're eating this antelope, for them to say, oh, I'm so happy, I am done. No, it's an instinct. They need to really start worrying about the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing right away. They always need more, otherwise they will starve to death. But the scriptures give us another, and I think a better reason for why we're like this. And it is because there is a deep longing in our hearts and our souls that cannot be satisfied by anything else, anything in this world, than to find ourselves fully, completely in the Creator's arms, to receive the gift of Christmas fully, completely. St. Augustine talked about it as a God-shaped void. Pascal said it like this. He said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human being which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus. Christmas time is a time when we become acutely aware of our need for something more than what this life, what this world can give. However good, however beautiful, however wonderful, it cannot satisfy you. Christmas time is a time when we become aware of our need for God to come and give us the gift of Himself. Which brings us to our scripture. We encounter two characters who don't get a lot of love during Christmas time, but they are considered traditional Christmas characters, Simeon and Anna. Luke puts them here right in the middle of the Christ's origin narrative in chapter 2. And they're unconnected to each other except for two things. They have been really faithful the entire life, and they've been looking for the great fulfillment to come. And secondly, they're really, really old. That's what we're told. The picture you get is something like this, especially if Simeon says, somehow in his early, younger age, Simeon, it gets into his head that God is going to send the Savior of Israel, the Anointed One, during his lifetime. And he is a devout, righteous, holy man. But even his righteousness, he doesn't feel is enough. Even his adherence to a moral and right living is not enough. He needs Christmas to happen. The respect of community is not enough. You can be faithful, you can be spiritual, and not find satisfaction, you know. Simeon and Anna were both faithful and spiritual people, but they were not fulfilled. They knew there had to be more, and they wanted more. So one day, after many days, after many decades of walking into the temple courts, Christmas comes to Simeon, and he meets a child, a precocious child, but a child nonetheless. Some people think this child is brilliant. Some people think this child is audacious and has no manners. Some people think this child is a lot of things, or even just a mere child. But only Simeon sees him and recognizes him as the Christ in the temple courts. Only Simeon is able to receive him, and he finds his life's completion, finds meaning at this point. Now I can die in peace, he says. Dismiss your servant, Lord. I can die in peace because now I have seen your salvation. You know, countless others passed by Jesus in the temple. Countless others were moral and upright and holy, like Simeon. And they passed Jesus by. Countless others were too busy to even see. They were too busy chasing after their own dreams, their own means of satisfaction and fulfillment. And still others were too preoccupied with their own understanding of how God was going to satisfy them, and they don't see Christmas happening right before their eyes. They pass by Christ and they don't even know it. What is the difference? How can we recognize Christmas? How can we truly be ready? There's something that Simeon says in the next section that gives us a clue to how we need to be ready to receive Christ. There were many others during Simeon's time who were waiting for God to come. It was not uncommon during this time for people to wait for the Savior of Israel to show up, because that's what they wanted, that's what they needed. But they don't see Jesus. They don't recognize him when he comes, and they don't realize Christmas is coming even when it does. But Simeon, He is ready to meet Christ. He is ready for Christmas, not for what he wants it to be, but rather for what God says it is. He says, you were prepared inside of all people a light for revelation for the Gentiles and for glory for Israel. Simeon sees Jesus as not only the Savior that Israel needs, but the Savior, the light for all people. Simeon recognizes that Christ has come, that Christmas has come, because he receives Christ on Christ's terms only. Receiving Christmas, folks, is not going to God and saying, God, here is my list of things that I need for you to really help with so that I can find satisfaction in life. I know you're the one that can make this happen. But receiving Christmas is not that. But receiving Christmas is to come to Christ and say, you figure out what is satisfaction. Because you are satisfaction itself. You become my fulfillment and change me. You are the only thing that can fill this God-shaped void, because only God is God-shaped. So let me ask you one more time. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to let go of all the ways in which you're chasing after and all the ways in which you're trying to figure out how to fill this void in your life? Even now, even now, are you ready to let go of those things, those ways in which you feel that you need, in which you recognize the different voids in your life, but rather simply to go to God and say, God, you be the God who fills this void. Are you ready for Christmas? Christmas, at its most simple foundation, is simply this. It really is about getting before you can give. Let's pray. Lord, help us to recognize that it is not a moral void that we need to fill in our lives. It is not a career void we need to fill. It is not a relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, child, any relationship gift that's a void in our lives that needs to be filled. Not even a spiritual gift, but rather a Christ-shaped void that needs to be filled in our lives. Lord, we come to you on this day so grateful for the ways in which you meet us. May we be ready to meet you. May we experience joy and its true fulfillment. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand with me now to receive your benediction? And I want to close by with the verses of the angelic song that the shepherds heard on the first night. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love, the great love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.